Just remember this one line that began the gospel reading you just heard. A dispute arose among them as to which of them was the greatest. Sisters and brothers, you cannot possibly know how glad I am to be here and to see all of you here. And what is even more, you probably cannot know why I am so glad to see all of you here. It is because after 3 months worth of long threads of emails involving the dean and the new bishop, we finally got Stephanie to commit to a day and a time to show up to get ordained. There was her graduation from Yale in late May, and then her preordination retreat. We thought about the 1st of June. I checked. It was a lot cooler on the 1st of June. But then her visa expired. And if she left the U.S., she wouldn't be able to go back for her missionary training on June 16th. And that lasted until just 2 days ago. So if the ordinand before us looks just a little jet-lagged, she has good reason to be. But now she is here. And even better, she's here with an expired visa, so she can't go back. And we finally have our moment and our congregation and our choir and everything else, including, thanks be to God, Stephanie. And that is why I'm glad to see all of you here today. We have been at this a long time. Stephanie first appears in the files of the convocation some years ago. She has wandered a long road since then, meeting with committees and commissions and councils, being examined by doctors, spending 3 years at Yale. At Yale? Taking exams and writing papers, taking the general ordination examination. We tried everything we could think of, put up every obstacle we could come up with, to make her think twice about coming here today. But here we are, in this churchiest of churchy moments, people in church on a Saturday morning, the culmination of all those processes and programs and requirements and tasks. And do you know what? The best news of all today is that the church does all that work, creates all those hurdles and hoops for Stephanie to jump over and through, and then the church does not get to have the last word. Because today what happens after all of that is that the church gets out of God's way and lets the Holy Spirit do her irrepressible, insistent work. In some ways, all these years, we have been chaperoning a courtship. Just when we think we know how God works, just when we think we can predict who it is God will call, maybe even just when we think we know God isn't there at all, God called the heart of this woman. And Stephanie, perhaps quite to her own surprise, began calling back. The draw of the Holy Spirit between these two became so dangerous that, of course, we in the church had to put ourselves in the middle between them to manage their relationship. But today the church gets out of the way. Today we let them be on their own without supervision. The people around Jesus were a lot like the people around us. They were social stratifiers. They lived in a culture with rigid social hierarchies and lots of ways to signal where you fit into that structure. Your religious status, your financial status, your social status, the social status of the people you were closest to. It isn't surprising that we are all still social stratifiers. One of the reasons we have prospered as a species is exactly that we have adapted into highly social creatures. We are acutely aware of the smallest gradations in social status and capability and power. Every day when I commute to work, I leave the metro at the Georges V stop and I walk down the avenue to the cathedral. And right where I get out of the subway, on the corner with the Champs-Élysées, right there is the Louis Vuitton store. And there's always a line waiting at the door just to get in. In all kinds of weather, even yesterday, that beastly hot day, farther down the avenue where you pass the hotels, it's always the most expensive cars that are parked right out in front. We want to signal our power, our status, our worth. Stephanie, there was no line of people waiting at the cathedral door this morning. The people out there are still arguing among themselves over which of them is the greatest. Not very many of them see an answer to that need here in this place. And there is a good reason for that, because very little about what we do here gives any affirmation to the world of social climbing out there. What we preach here, what we have been taught by the one we proclaim as Lord and Savior, is that the whole idea is upside down. First, Jesus says, when God looks at us, God sees no rank, no rank ordering, no best to worst, no honor rolls and detention lists. We are all radically equal in the sight of God. That is an idea completely at odds with the way humans are designed to work. And that is why it is so radical. And along with that comes the ethic Jesus teaches to turn this world into that vision. We disciples have to create here in this place among ourselves a right side up world. In the world, we are called to create the highest are the lowest, the least are the greatest, the youngest are the wisest, and the outcasts are the in crowd. That is the world we are called to build, at least within the church. And by God's grace, when we get it right in the church, which we don't do often enough, we will begin to change the world outside the church too. So it turns out there is a hidden gift in the long wait we had to endure to figure out a day Stephanie would show up and do this. Most people are ordained to the diaconate right after they graduate from seminary, in late May or early June. These days, some people are ordained even before they graduate from seminary, in like January, which makes all of us old people grumble. But it just so happens that by waiting this long, we gave you, and especially you, a particular gift, because you are being ordained on the feast of Saints Peter and Paul. Peter and Paul argued between themselves over who was the greatest. They had different visions for the church, each one of which in isolation would not have brought about the vision of the beloved community that Jesus dreamed of for his people. One thought that the gift of the way of love was only to be shared by the people already chosen by God, people who understood that relationship with God is a covenant and not a casual thing. And one thought that the gift had the purpose of expanding the idea of chosenness, to be radically expanded, to encompass all people, everywhere, for all time. Stephanie, in the reading that you chose for us to hear from the Acts of the Apostles this morning, we heard what happened when one of those brothers in Christ allowed himself to imagine the truth of the other's ideas. Peter's dream teaches him that God's love is neither defined nor limited by our imaginations. Instead, it's our imaginations that are meant to be made wider by the transforming love of God. And so, Holy Mother Church, in her wisdom, decided which of these, Peter or Paul, was the greatest. She decided that they were equal. And so we celebrate them together. The upside-down world of the beloved community even applies to our calendar. So never forget that you were ordained on this day that lives right in the tension between the church as it has been and the church as it will be. Never forget that you were ordained on this day that rejects the notion of rank ordering, even among saints. That is not how the God of love, the God who charts the way of love, even through the wilderness of despair, that is not how our God works. Stephanie, you are now called to be among us as a deacon in the church. There is a reason why all of us who take up the ordained kind of ministry in our church always start in that role. It's because in this blessed time as a deacon in the church, you are called by God to stand in the space between the world God calls us to create right here and the world as it is. The world where we fight over power and over land and over privilege and over access. You are called to be among us to speak the needs of that world here. To help us understand how we can better address those needs of that world Christ came to save. And at the same time, you are called to be in that world on our behalf, preaching the gospel's possibility of a different vision, a higher hope, and a holy purpose. So, my dear sister, value this time and give yourself to it fully, prayerfully, and fearlessly. Because for this moment, you are by no means the least in the ministry of the church. Remember, Jesus has taught us that the leaders are the ones who serve. So be our leader, Stephanie. Lead us into the world God calls us to serve. And to the extent that God enables you, lead the world to the knowledge of God's love. Amen.